Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 415. The countdown is on. At Midnight is a show I'm doing for Comedy Central, which will be at midnight starting October 21st, and then four nights a week right after the Colbert Report. So please watch. Sort of a fake game show with comedians, and I hope you like it. I think you'll like it. The run-throughs have been really fun, so if you came to one, thanks. I think we're doing a few more in studio in the next couple weeks, so I'll tweet about all that stuff from that Nerdist Twitter account, which is mine. I would like to thank for the sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite.com. Back your things up. I said the G-rated version of that. Be respectful. You might have a lot of stuff. Maybe there's a bunch of Nerdist podcasts that you don't want to lose. Nah, you can always get those. I'm thinking maybe more personal files you're worried about backing up. But you really do need to back them up, because if they go away, that's it. There is no control Z for retrieving a backup that has been damaged due to some type of OS failure. So Carbonite Online Backup will take care of you. You can access your files from any computer, and then your stuff is just continually backed up. You don't even have to think about it. We have the offer code Nerdist, which will give you two bonus months with purchase at Carbonite.com. So it's $59.99 a year. That's what plans start at. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. Tenacious D has returned to the podcast. I think last year we went into Swing House Studios in West Hollywood, sat and chatted with the D. They did a couple songs. We have repeated that this year, so thanks to Swing House for having us back. And Kyle and Jack are doing a big, huge comedy music festival called Festival Supreme. That's October 19th on the Santa Monica Pier. And the lineup is ridiculous. It is. If you listen to this podcast, you might have to check your shorts for seepage, because Tim and Eric, Mr. Show, Mighty Boosh, Sarah Silverman, Zach Galifianakis, Fred Armisen, Eric Idle, Hannibal Buress, Will Forte, Dimitri Martin, Reggie Watts, Craig Robinson, Beardy Man, Triumph, Garfunkel and Oates, Neil Hamburger, of course, Tenacious D, Patton Oswalt, Tim Minchin. Go to festivalsupreme.com. And by the way, they made an amazingly hilarious video for the Nerdist YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/Nerdist, look for it. It's sort of just like a 1 minute promo spot for Festival Supreme that they managed to make hilarious. Hint, electric company. So at the end of this podcast, we did some songs, and I casually mentioned to their people, like, oh, we should do an 80s jam at the end. And not thinking that they would, and they did, and what followed was an entirely unrehearsed and almost wholly improvised 80s music jam with me and the D, which I'm going to say is one of my favorite moments on the podcast. So here you go, Nerdist Podcast number 415 with Tenacious D!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Loud talking snake who screams everything.
But what about your cartoon character?
Hey! It's time for the show. Are you ready for some comedy show?
We never discussed changing the theme song. That's the new song?
Yep, that's right. The new song.
Let's do it
now. Yep. And we had Jack on percussion beating the table.
It's a comedy show. It's a comedy show.
Here's one thing, but you think it's the other.
Here's the harmony. Let's get it right.
We're right. Back at Swing House.
We are.
Jack and Kyle.
Oh, my God. Are we recording?
This is it, man.
This is how you do it.
This is the soft opening again.
This is how we do it.
How about that? Montel Jordan.
Went around town and you do that thing.
That's what they call his prank show. How we do it.
They did. Yeah, it was how we do it.
You're shitting me. That's really what they called it?
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
This is how we do it.
And that was the intro song when he came out.
Are you serious?
Wow. I know quality television, Chris.
Can we find out what Montel's up to? I think you're right.
What is Montel Jordan up to?
Hanging with the Rough Riders.
Does anyone know what Montel Jordan's up to?
Can we check our Googles?
I mean, this is Swing House Studios.
He should fall out of the ceiling.
The odds are he's probably recording in one of these spaces right now. Yeah.
I was just thinking, I was walking in the streets of Van Nuys. My car was being serviced, and I was thinking, what happened to that band Verve? Remember the Verve?
Well, they got sued
the Verve,
a bunch.
Not the Verve pipe. Yeah, no, they lost Verve, all their money
with
to
Richard
Stones.
Richard Ashcroft.
Because the Stones didn't have enough, and they sued them because of didn't sound like a Stones song to me.
Richard Ashcroft did a bunch of solo stuff after the Verve.
Okay, so that's the lead singer guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's doing stuff.
Yeah, he was that kind of insect-looking guy.
Because I imagined that he was doing nothing, and that maybe he died. It's a very sad thing when you go famous people, and then what happened? And it's usually a sad story of loneliness.
Hey, how come that guy doesn't make any? Oh, no.
Oh, he does. It's the worst.
The other day, I was like, why isn't the lead from Blazing Saddles in anything anymore? And then I was like, he died when I was nine.
Not alive. Little.
He's playing the harp now.
Dude, you know that part was supposed to go
to Richard Pryor.
To Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Would they not insure him or something?
Yeah, he helped write the.
No, no,
he helped write it with Mel Brooks and those other guys.
And a dentist. Wasn't one of the guys a dentist?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But the studio said no.
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't the studio shut it down.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Because of the freebasing?
Yes, because of the freebasing.
Really back
that
then?
That will do that.
The drugs and just the
general lesson. I think that was pre-freebase.
Well, he was doing drugs, and he was open about it, and so they couldn't insure him, so they didn't want him to do it.
Interesting. Oh, no, Kyle's taking the side of the studio. Kyle's like, dude.
Well, I think he was one of the only actors doing drugs at the time.
He really brought drugs to the entertainment industry. Yes. Before that, everyone was clean and fine.
Yes. But Clavon Little, that's his character. I can't think of any.
Yeah, no,
does Blazing Saddles hold up?
Yes, it does.
I was watching it this morning.
Like 20 years.
There's a couple times where it's like, you see a joke and you feel that it's cheesy, but then you remember that they were the first ones to make that joke, and then that joke was redone in every comedy after that. So it feels like it's old only because you've seen it.
You're
so
saying they were a victim of their own trend that they set.
Yeah, exactly.
It revolutionized the fart, though, because there had never been a movie that really concentrated so intensely on the flatulence like Blazing Saddles did.
No.
That fart scene around the campfire, it just tore a hole in my brain.
Yeah. Well,
it was so funny.
Which was a nice callback in History of the World Part 1 where Dom DeLuise is farting Caesar. Where he wash this. Like he was just basically pulling things out of his ass.
Yeah, I remember it sweeping the playgrounds as a child.
did that have anything to do with Mel Brooks, or was that just the?
No, it was
just something you guys were doing. What have you guys been up to since you were on the podcast last? I mean, I know the podcast propelled you into superstardom, and then you know there was a crazy ride.
Wow. So that was like a year and a half ago?
Wow. Wait a second. What's happened to us since then? Is that what you said?
Yeah. What's going on? Did the podcast propel you into
Grammy nominations?
Whatnot.
Sold out tours.
Yeah, we toured the world.
And elsewhere.
What else happened, Kate? Did anything else happen besides just rocking the world? We went around the world. We didn't go to every nook and cranny, though. We still have a hankering to play the Far East, or the Middle East, for that matter. We've never gone east of Europa.
Maybe you could unite the Middle East with the power of rock. Have you ever thought of that?
Well, we did a song on SNL.
One time. Hornet's Nest.
Hornet's Nest.
Yeah.
Wow, you're going deep.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Which my mom contends is the worst song we've ever done.
Well, it was nice of her to share that with
you. Carol's harsh.
I'd go with one note song.
I mean, there's some places you can play. You don't want to go playing everywhere in the Middle East. There's some rough riders out there. But you want to maybe hit
Qatar.
I'd go to Turkey.
Sure.
I'd party in Turkey.
Yeah.
I think we'd go over pretty good there.
Yeah.
Qatar?
Yeah.
You guys could play in Dubai. You could ski down a building and play at the same time.
I've heard that some rocking goes down at Dubai. Israel. Does that count as the Middle East? We could play Israel.
Sure could. Why wouldn't it count as the Middle East?
I don't know. It just feels like a little...
They're in the middle of the hornet's nest there.
Have you played Japan? Have you played Japan?
It's just like, hey, man, have you played the Middle East? Yeah, we played Israel. Everyone would be like, that doesn't count. Have you played the real Middle East?
What?
You know.
People are trying to out-hipster you with the Middle East.
Israel's mainstream Middle East.
That was the rock club in Boston, or Cambridge, the Middle East.
That's right.
Yeah. The only place people really play, I think, the hard rock bands, they go just to the military bases. Yeah. That's how they play the Middle East, sadly. Yes.
With hundreds of guns.
But we're going to change all that. Cage are going to go.
Yeah.
We hit.
We're going to go on like a flatbed truck and just like cruise around.
And just play out in the open as you're driving.
Well, I mean, we want to play the pyramids, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given.
On top of it.
Didn't the Grateful Dead play there?
What?
They did a show there. And they were talking about the cosmic
in their minds. I think they did, actually.
Every show felt like it was at the Pyramids.
But we still want to play Japan.
You haven't played Japan?
No, we haven't played the Budokan.
I'm surprised. I would have thought you guys have been over there.
I know. That seems like a thing that should have happened by now. But,
yeah, Philippines.
No, apparently there's no interest from the Japanese people in our
We haven't gotten a received enough fan mail from Japan.
And we've
is that how you're gauging your content?
We also have never played South America. We've never played from Tokyo, Brazil, or any of those festivals that happened.
I had just assumed you guys had been everywhere.
Dude, here's the weird thing. Now I'm realizing we haven't been most of the world.
No.
We also haven't played anywhere in Africa.
We've missed
So this is going back on what you said when you first got here, which was we've been playing all over the world.
Yeah,
it's actually,
it shows what kind of like
we were wrong.
Myopic.
Okay,
you've just played wherever British Airways flies.
Yeah.
All around this part of the world, you've been playing. All
I mean, like almost everywhere
the
they speak English, we play.
It's the British Airways first class tour.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good tour.
Well, that's the problem is that as you know, of course, there's that romantic idea of like, oh, we play everywhere. I don't give a shit. Then you get older and you're like, Tim, what's the thread count on those?
It's also like, what are their toilets like? Are they in the floor?
Do I have to shit in a hole? Water in
we
them.
Do.
I want to rock. I need to be comfortable at the same time.
We haven't even played all the United States. There's a lot of states that are still like, what the hell?
Yeah, we.
Okay, you guys actually have
those.
Not played that many places. It sounds like, but
we've never played Largo, right?
We've only played Largo. We played the House of Blues.
Yeah, they've been up and down La Cienega
years ago.
Wait, we had our last idea was the House of Blues tour because they're really comfy to play.
Yeah,
nice green room.
I think since we last saw you, though, we put out another album, the jazz album.
Oh, that's right.
And it was one song, but it was a full 12-minute of jazz song, and we took that album and sold it only on vinyl. It was very special. And then we did a concert of the jazz, and it was no Tenacious D songs, just jazz.
Did you get Derek Smalls on bass?
No, we didn't get it.
That's Jazz Odyssey.
It's his idea.
Big
but we,
he wrote this.
I told him 100
we
times,
took over
Tenacious D, then Puppet Show.
There's a jazz club right down the street called the Catalina Club.
Okay.
Bar and Grill.
And it's like a real jazz aficionado place. And we did two shows just like jazz people do. You do the 8 p.m. show and the 10 p.m. show. And it kind of felt like we crushed it. I wanted to go on the road with it.
But this was a 12-minute set. You just played a 12-minute set.
No, we did a full hour of nonstop jazz. And we kind of, you know, like melted in and out of different songs. We just never stopped playing. That's how we were able to say it was one long song.
Yeah, that sounds jazzy. Yeah. It's like, where are they go? Oh, it's not over yet. Or you're constantly starting to get up to go, and they're like, oh, they're not done yet.
There was a moment about like 10, 15 minutes in for me. I started to panic a little bit.
You felt like this isn't going to...
I was like, what are we going to do for the next 45 minutes?
Can we go into a hook? Can we just get into a hook?
But then,
quick?
Like, say, once we hit some, you know... Hit some grooves. Some songs, yeah.
Now, when someone comes to see you perform and then they see you do a long jazz riff, are there expectations they have? Are they shouting out songs or are they cool?
No, they were freaking out.
Birdland!
I think more than anything, people
take five.
Are dying for something
crazy.
New and fresh and original. So they were into it, you know. But what did we do? What were the songs we were doing? We did like
we did
Moon Dance. We melted in the Moon Dance,
nice.
A jazzy version of Moon
we
Dance.
We did some jazzy on Broadway.
Yeah, on Broadway.
I think we attempted Take Five, actually.
We did a little Take Five in tribute to the recently deceased jazz master. What's his name?
Dave Brubeck.
Brubeck, thank you.
Thank God we have a researcher here.
You got it. Anytime, guys.
Not Brubeck. What's his name?
The iconic What's His Name.
Yeah.
But,
no, were you kind of scatting along with that?
Yes, of course. There's a tremendous amount of scatting. And also just improvised jazzy lyrics about whatever the case may be. I like to talk about how there's no wrong notes in jazz. And I kind of like displayed, I tried to hit some bad notes and it just sounded genius. The worse the note, the better the jazz.
So you just go up to like a weird augmented note or something and then back down.
Oh,
that was amazing.
You hear that?
You're just going outside.
Yeah, that's when you're really getting
now,
good.
Now, the people that ran the Bar and Grill... I think they were a little mystified, like what was happening, because we did pretty well. I think it was
sold out.
It was sold
two
out.
Shows, and they're not
which,
used to selling
if you've
out,
been to Catalina Bar and Grill, it's usually like, you know, 75 people
Yeah.
To see, like,
the jazz legend of the centuries there, and there's, like, 75 people going, there's just...
What's his name? What's his face? They're all the greats players.
That guy, that one guy. All the Marcellus eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcellus.
Who's he, what's he? Oh, man.
Old trumpet face.
Who's he, was he? He used to play with Miles Davis all
yeah.
the time.
Oh, he was great. He was great. Old Fry Fry.
Our bass player, John Spiker, came as Miles Davis from the 80s.
Oh, so like...
Oh, nice.
There was some costumes involved.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
That's a weird look.
It was a weird look.
I love... Yeah. Spiker worked on the Rock of Ages show that we did forever ago.
Spiker never stopped working. I know, he did. And then I think it didn't work out, as I recall.
I got fired.
I was trying to soft sell it a little bit.
It didn't work. It was like, they went another... I was fired.
And I was... Wait a minute.
We were not on the same page.
John knows everything about sound. How could that be possible?
I still haven't seen it on Broadway. I don't know what they did with it on Broadway.
I saw it.
Yep. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
There's it's in Vegas now, like permanently.
It's in Vegas. But the one I really wanted to see was, we were just in Sweden, and there was a version in Stockholm.
Were they doing it in Swedish, or did they do the American?
I would imagine they did it in Swedish, but I don't know. I didn't see it. I wanted to go, but
that's pretty fucking incredible
to see. Yeah,
that's so... that blows me away that show. It's just like, I was in Toronto, and it was like, oh, it's in Toronto, and now it's in Vegas, and New York, and London, and...
No, it is everywhere.
It really is.
And I think it's going to be one of those, like, Guys and Dolls that will play, like, colleges and high schools until the end of the
year.
Did you miss your chance there, Chris? Did they say to you, hey, you want to come with us to New York? It's going to be a hit. And you were like, you know.
Well, they did. They did offer it to me, and when it was off-Broadway, and then when it moved, they poked around again, but I don't have the throat for that.
Right.
I could never pull
eight
off...
8 shows a week.
Never pull off 8 shows a week.
Because you're not supposed to sing from the throat.
I know. I basically scream sing. But I could do a couple shows a week the way that we were doing it. But then what I imagined was that I would give up all of the work that I was doing in Los Angeles, and I was working on a couple shows, and then I would have to not talk during the day and never do stand up again because I would have to preserve my voice to do 8 shows a week. And
I gotta
it
go
just
hats
sounded
off.
Rough.
I got to go hats off to those dudes who can pull that
it
off.
It is amazing.
Because it is real work. Yeah, 8 shows a week and singing and all that stuff.
And keeping the energy fresh. Like a fucking Sunday matinee show and you got to just fucking rock it like it's Saturday night.
Yeah. No, you got to be Leather Pipes McGee to pull that off.
You really do. And
it
I'm
takes
not.
A different breed. Yeah.
I have suede pipes. They get a little chunky. They get a little chunky in there.
Mine too, dude. I get a little frail out there on the road. I'm all like steaming my face and drinking the hut teas and vocal resting and all my vocal warm-ups.
I think Matt Weaver did offer it to us if we wanted to like do a couple weeks of Rock of Ages.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't remember.
What basically has to happen is, in order to rock, you have to live a lot of your life like a middle-aged woman.
It's true.
A lot of steaming the face and drinking lemon and, you know...
Oh, I'm talking very excited.
You know, like not expending... You shouldn't whisper. It's worse whispering. It's worse to do that.
That's
you're
right. I heard that.
Blowing yourself.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's worse because it requires more muscles to suppress your voice. So if you whisper, you're actually...
So what do you do to talk quietly then?
You just talk quietly.
How do you tell secrets?
Well, you don't tell secrets because it's rude.
What about Sato? Sato voice.
Come on. Sato voce. What's wrong with Sato voce, you guys?
What about stage whispering?
Oh, by the way, I just saw something on YouTube that I'd never seen before, which was you playing with the School of Rock Band as grown-up.
Kids. Oh, that awesome,
that happened.
Right?
Yeah, we had our 10-year anniversary reunion.
And it was fucking great.
It was really, did you hear us play?
Yes.
Yeah, there's
nice.
A video of it. People just took video of it and put it online. It sounds great. Those
I
kids
might
are
have to go
good.
And find that and watch myself. we sounded good, and we just like rehearsed earlier that day. And it had been 10 years, so I was pretty proud of ourselves. We did it. We were able to rock it extremely hard.
I didn't realize they were all actual musical kids.
Yeah, that was the deal. When they got cast for their musical prowess as well as their acting chops. But I can't take credit for any of that. That was all Rick Linklater. He's got the magic eye, you know.
I didn't know that.
Well, because he did the same thing with, what was that movie that he did, Dazed and Confused?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you look at that cast, they were all kind of first-timers, and then they all went on to become like...
Matthew Batman. McConaughey.
Legendary people. And it was all due to the Rick Linklater eye. He knows the talent. They
like
say it's a huge part of directing is 90% casting.
Yeah, American Graffiti was kind of like that.
Is that what they say, though? Do they say directing? They just say directing theaters 90% casting. But film, maybe there's more to it.
Woody Allen says that, too. He says it's like mainly like he finds the right people, and that's why he doesn't really tell them anything when they're actually shooting. So he's
who
like,
said that?
Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that a lot, and it seems surprising because everyone seems on there. I think they're just like, oh, my God, I better be prepared.
Yeah.
He's not going to give me any direction, and it's a Woody Allen movie.
Would you rather play? Do you
but
like,
maybe that's why most of his movies are really shitty.
Most are.
He forgot to tell him not to be shitty.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Jack is throwing down.
No, listen. He's having a little renaissance now, but let's not forget the 10 years of fucking unadulterated.
Let's not forget the Tweety Aphrodite.
And we're going to say that
of- The Curse of the Jade Scorpion?
Come on. That's great.
There was,
you're going to stand up for all of those?
No, God, no.
All right.
No.
So, okay, since we're being honest, because we all agree he's done amazing things as a genius.
Especially but I remember, lately. Yeah.
Lately, for sure.
His stock has gone way up.
If you're going to do a movie a year, there's going to be some clunkers. There's going to be some. But we saw Melinda, which, by the way, was a brilliant experiment. Like, take a storyline and express it as a comedy, express it as a drama. And it just didn't turn out amazing. So we're walking out of the theater. No one is saying anything. Everyone's like, because that's that feeling of like, did I miss something? Am I supposed to like this? Am I dumb? Am I not getting it? And my now ex-girlfriend just said very loudly, he's still got it. And everyone fucking died. Oh, no. Everyone fucking died.
Why did you let that one go?
Why did you break up with that?
How do you know he broke up? Maybe she broke up. Sounds like a very sort of
inquiring mind.
Let's just go into that.
She was
for
the lead singer
of
the Verve. It was Richard Ashcroft. It was Richard Ashcroft. I'm sorry. But now he's got the, you know, I don't know, how's the Louis C.K. one?
I heard Andrew Dice Clay is very
good. Oh, Andrew Dice Clay. Like, he's going to get everyone's, oh, he's going to get nominated.
For playing what looks like himself?
Yeah.
Playing Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah, it seems like it's Andrew Dice Clay.
Well, really? Courtney Love got nominated for the Hustler movie.
Yeah, but
the
she wasn't.
Hustler movie.
The Larry Flint. You could have just named the guy, and that would have been the title. Yeah. But
that political drama?
I like to go in through the side door sometimes. I don't go into the front door. I don't think there's anything wrong with someone. I would be emotionally ready for a nice Andrew Dice Clay comeback. I think that'd be kind of cool.
It feels like that's the way the world feels.
I think it's happening.
There's been enough time.
He's
passed.
He's tried, though, right?
The unsavory a-hole sauce has sort of worn off a bit. Now people are like, hey,
well, now
that guy's, remember how he made us laugh a little?
What if we enjoy him ironically?
Hickory dickory duck.
Applause break for 10 minutes.
I don't remember the rest of it.
Oh, God.
I don't remember the rest of it.
Do you remember
it feels like he's mounting a major comeback.
Didn't
although
he do like a, I remember a pay per view. He had like a Madison Square Garden pay per view.
Oh, did he?
Remember recently? That? No, like in 80.
That was a legendary thing. Yeah. He was like the first comic to
bonkers.
Sell that.
Imagine someone doing that now.
Yeah, Dane Cook did it.
Yeah, he did a couple shows at Madison Square Garden, but I feel like
touche. No, he's right.
What did I say? But I feel like Andrew Dice Clay is perfect for a venue that size because it's not you cannot see a stand up with that many people and listen to stories. Like it really has to be Hickory Dickory Dock. Yay! I mean, basically the jokes have to be mini songs. Because no one's going to sit there and listen to, you know,
he
like
just
someone's
do gibberish like he's doing comedy and people would still go ape.
Well, he does sort of get there.
Yeah.
I heard, though, that's...
Oh, no, guys, he's having a stroke. That's not okay.
Worked on that bit.
But I heard that Sarah Silverman just did her HBO special, Comedy Hour, at the Small Room at Largo.
Oh, oh nice.
And, you know, this is just like a 30-person capacity.
It's basically like if they took original Largo and put it in a museum, it would be this. Like, oh, this is what Largo
and
looked
I'm like. Where do I go for $8 Guinness? Where
that's
do I get
that? That's kind of genius, actually.
Yeah, super intimate.
Did she shoot it or just audio?
Shoot it.
Wow, how do you even
what do you mean?
Cameras?
Does HBO have radio now? It was an HBO special.
Yeah, do they, Chris?
HBO radio.
Yeah, do they? On, welcome to the Sopranos Comedy Hour.
Why are they airing that?
I don't know, because it's
Sopranos
radio.
Sopranos lends itself to a
if
great
we're
radio
saying
drama.
That HBO has radio, there could be
they don't have to make it a comedy, though.
Which, where are you suspending your disbelief?
I just think that the Sopranos does not let itself
okay,
to
Game of Thrones
written.
Comedy Hour.
Guys,
brought to you by
wrong.
Colgate. The Colgate Comedy Hour of Game of Thrones.
I'm listening.
Tell me more.
I've actually been listening to... I've been listening to the 40s on 4 Sirius XM, and it, like they play like old radio shows, like Danny Kaye Comedy Hour.
Oh, Danny
and they're
Kaye.
Fucking great.
Triple threat.
Dude, you know what I'm thinking about now that you said Game of Thrones? Though I was watching some Emmy. Well, I was looking at some photos of this is really a lame thing to admit. I was looking at some photos on Yahoo of like people that were walking the red carpet.
Oh my God, I did the same thing.
The photo.
I looked at 110. Your mom and I looked at 110 of them.
Okay. I look at all 220, if that's how many. But
oh, that's European.
The girl from Game of Thrones who plays the dragon master.
Yes.
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi. Yes.
Is so much Amelia hotter Clark. When she's blonde. And then when she's the black hair, it just it sucks all of the magic out of her face.
Yeah.
Are you, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Some people are I prefer brunettes in general.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, when they're blonde, not everybody, it just goes, yeah, it goes turbo.
Some
yeah.
people, too, when they have three dragons flying around them, something magical happens.
Yeah, maybe it's the dragons.
And it really...
Yeah. Nothing to do with her hair.
I do enjoy that.
It's the total power she has over men.
Are you caught up on the Game of Thrones?
Yeah, well, on the series.
The series.
I haven't read any of the books.
I haven't read the books either.
I read the books. The show's doing a good job of reading it for us.
It's shown as
much. Are they books based on the series?
If there were novelizations of this series, that's a good fucking call. Pictures?
There probably would be.
Yeah, you're right, though. Why would you read the books when the series is so good? They should just call the books Game of Thrones spoiler alert.
Well, you know,
you're
going
to find out everything that's going
to
happen.
People that have read them since the show has been on are just those type of people that need to spoil everything for you.
Yeah.
That are like, well, fuck it, I already know what happens. I read them already.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't start reading for this wedding.
The book's so much better.
The Red Wedding was not so pleasurable. Yeah.
I really love Game of Thrones, but it also, I feel like, each cliffhanger, each season, they set something up that they kind of just don't pay off. Like, there was the previous season, it was like, oh my God, these White Walkers, they're going to stir up some shit next season.
Yeah.
And every episode was like, well, there was that one.
It's a waiting game.
Dragon Tooth.
It's a waiting game.
It's a growing threat. It's a growing threat.
But usually at the end of a season, they're like, ba-bow, and you're like, okay, that's where that shit's going to pay off.
And
dragons, then next season...
Right?
First season was like, it's like at the end of it, it's like, oh shit, dragons.
There's gonna be dragons.
Yeah. And then you enjoyed the dragons you got.
And there's so, but then, yeah, but it did, still didn't really. There's still,
what's the rush, Chris?
Yeah. I just want things to pay off in a timely fashion.
Those books are big.
That's why on All My Children, I love Fridays.
Yep, because that's where all the storylines.
The shit was going
shit
down.
Shit gets wrapped
and you knew.
Up.
Yeah.
That sounds like more than a joke, though. You really have enjoyed some All My Children
God,
in your
back
day.
In the day.
Little All My.
Last Friday?
That day, maybe.
Is Erica Kane? Erica Kane's All My, right?
Yes.
Susan Lucci.
All My.
AMC? She's AMC? Yeah. All My Children? I feel like Tenacious D could score... If someone compiled a bunch of Game of Thrones footage, I feel like you guys could score that and rock it.
I'd like to hear
Tenacious
D's version of the theme.
Dude, that theme is really fresh, though.
Yeah, it's great.
When it comes on, it makes me want to dance like ancient style.
There's a guy on the YouTube that's playing it, the whole thing on a guitar. It's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
How about that kid that plays the Simpsons theme with two guitars?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Insane.
I know there's a bunch of Asian kids who will play all of the Super Mario Brothers, like from start to finish. Take you through all the levels on the piano.
Oh, they're great.
Oh, no.
It's great. Oh, YouTube.
I met Asian kids.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, great.
But the best was that drummer guy that played the drums along to the, right? Ba-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da, the Super Mario Brothers theme.
Oh, I didn't see that guy.
The drummer guy?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think a Tenacious D Game of Thrones epic song could be fun, something fun for the next tour.
Yeah.
It's hard not to sing along to that theme song.
I mean, you could at least get it on HBO Radio.
Yeah.
They would play it.
Game of Thrones, throwing games, gamey game.
Well, there weren't really lyrics, so we just kind of had to make them up.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Khaleesi
so
and Tyrion and dragons and Joffrey.
Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and all of those, it's like you're looking at a period piece. You know what I mean? It's like, this is Middle Ages. Yeah, this is how they talked and walked and did everything. except also the dragons.
Yeah. Also, mostly everything's fake.
You know what I mean?
Dragons and
it all seems like they paid real close attention to what things were like in the Middle Ages, yeah, except for a couple of things.
Well, if I was alive back then and ran into a wizard dragon...
Most people would have British accents.
That's why they have English accents.
I'm always hoping there's, I'm always hoping there's like 20% more magic in the show than there ever is.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of swordplay, and definitely shit happens, and there's like five storylines you're following, but I always want there to... someone just to be like, I am Merlin, and then hand lightning, and it never fucking happens, and I always kind of feel disappointed.
You're right.
I think it'll come, right?
I don't know.
You should have watched Merlin on BBC America.
I didn't. Was it any good?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Oh.
No. It didn't stop you from watching, apparently.
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay. But they say that the best what do they say is the best BBC thing? It's Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock.
Yeah,
right?
Sherlock's great.
Yeah, Sherlock's really good.
And everyone is like a movie, right? They're like movie.
Well, they only do like three season, like three a year, and,
that's
so, and
the
they're
gig,
all like
guys. A, oh, 3 year.
Ooh,
done.
That's the gig. Ooh,
that's
the
so British. I'm gonna do my winter episode.
It's more British than British to do. Three of a series.
More British than British. More British than British.
How you doing? Rob Zombie?
Yes.
Yeah. Omar?
Robert Zombie Esquire.
More British than British.
We did it. My friend Mike Furman and I did an acoustic version of Dragula once. It was for Rob's 40th birthday. We did an acoustic version of Dragula. And the song actually plays pretty well acoustically. And when you have harmonies, it's very... Dig through the ditches that burn through. Like, it actually sounds like an old minstrel song. It's kind of fun.
Every time I hear, like, Dragula, and I know that's, like, you know, like, drag racing Dracula, but it's like I think about the wino bit from Richard Pryor. Like, Dragula, what kind of name is that? Dragula. Like, that's the way he said Dragula. That's how
I think he was referring to the Munsters. I think it was a Munsters reference. Why did you have to throw your bottle of water over there?
Because it was done, was staring and at so it. Was I.
Well, why don't we
this
throw
this motherfucker bringing up Richard Pryor before, I was like, oh, that always reminded me of Richard Pryor. You left me hanging.
I'm sorry, yeah. No, I gave you crickets.
You did.
I gave you an empty stare.
You gave me love. I gave you crickets.
At least, yeah, we remember that. Just an acknowledgement instead of fucking silence.
Okay.
Do you know, I am pretty slow, though, in general. Jokes will hit me a few seconds after a normal person, you know, and it's not a reflection on whether you're funny or not. It's really just that it takes me a little bit longer to process.
Well, the worst part is
now I get it, the Dragula.
No, that's the worst part. It wasn't even my joke. I was just referencing.
You see what you've made our guests do? You've made them backtrack and take the blame.
I know, it's great.
We're not getting.
I was sour.
Not a bad thing.
Richard Pryor reference. It's very fun to watch your body posture just turn inward, where you're just trying to like. If I only had a shell, I could crawl inside.
I really wanted to.
If I only had a shell.
Yeah. I still, you're the person who taught me the term turtling.
Oh,
because we were at a Starbucks once when we were doing Rock of Ages, and you're like, "Oh my, the turtle's poking his head out." And you went into the bathroom and fucking destroyed.
He still laughs. Oh. He brought this up like a week ago. And was cracking up at the fact.
He's like, "Oh, little turtle poking his head out."
Oh, the turtle, but he goes back in, so you're safe.
You don't have to. But you let him out. What is the show that you guys are doing at Santa Monica Pier?
Oh, that's the other thing we've been doing since...
Take a ride on our Segway.
Yeah. Since we saw you last. We've been curating and developing a new comedy music festival called Festival Supreme.
The first of its kind.
Yeah, so it's kind of basically the Woodstock of comedy music. I mean, originally what we wanted it to be was... Fly to the Conchords, The Lonely Island, Spinal Tap, and Tenacious D.
Oh, come on.
The festival. But none of them said, they all said no.
Plan B.
Even Tenacious D said no?
Oh, that's right, no.
We kind of didn't want to be left out.
Yeah, we're not doing anything.
But in the meantime, we had invited like tons of other people, and they all said yes. And we looked at the lineup, and we said, this is still magnificent. We have to do this. You know, we had... Zach,
you couldn't get the Folksman instead of Spinal Tap, maybe?
You know, we tried every angle. They just weren't feeling it.
Yeah.
Do you guys just want to play as Michael McKean and
can you just Harry Shearer?
Yeah.
Mitch and Mickey.
Yeah.
But
still
a
great lineup.
We have played with Spinal Tap before. We played with them at House of Blues like a million years ago.
I saw that show. Oh,
wow. You were there?
Yeah, that was a great show.
That was a great show, yeah?
Yeah, it was really good.
But, you know, at the end, we all played Big Bottom.
Yeah.
And everybody had a bass. There were like 12 yeah. basses on the stage.
Tons of
bases. I had a bass, and we were playing, and I was just super enthusiastic. I might have been like dancing around too much, and the bass, the head of the bass, kind of bumped Michael McKean's wife in the head.
Oh,
now she didn't. It didn't draw blood, but it did give her kind of a little golf ball on the head.
Oh.
And I feel like maybe that's why they're not playing Festival Supreme.
Whoa.
It might have been the monkey bump. I was so apologetic, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Eesh.
The damage was done.
There's no way. And you try to play it off like, it's what Spinal Tap would do. They would hit someone's wife with a guitar.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
That's infinity.
I remember that all the basses weren't plugged in, as I recall.
Yeah. It's more for show.
I think I had one.
Do you remember when they did that? Yeah. What was that festival?
They did some World 8 thing, right?
Yeah.
They had like everybody.
Yeah, and like literally everybody on that show, including Metallica, all had basses.
Really?
Yeah, they all did Big Bottom.
Nice.
Man.
It's pretty amazing that still, as a band, if you hear Spinal Tap, they really just kind of did the one thing, but you would come out of whatever crevice you were under to just go see them one time.
Yeah. I've never seen them play.
It's fun.
I wish I had gone to those shows they did when the Folksmen opened up for the Spinal Tap, and the people would boo the Folksmen.
Of course.
Yeah. That was a bad idea. But that's what Tap fans would do, you know?
Everyone's in on it, man. Who else is playing in the show? You said Zach?
Zach Galifianakis. We got Bob Odenkirk and David Cross doing the Mr. Show experience. They didn't want to be called Mr. Show. They wanted to
taking it to
know.
The next level.
Yeah, I think it's because they're reinventing themselves a bit. We got the Mighty Boosh from the UK. Very exciting. They're kind of the Mr. Show of.
So you have Noel Fielding and Rich.
Yeah. I don't know if we got Rich. I just know we got Joel and Noel and Julian.
Yeah. Cool.
But
Rich is out here.
Hopefully, Rich. That makes sense.
Yeah, he moved
it would be
back,
weird
if
Rich wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know everything.
We got Tim and Eric.
That was me.
No,
it's
you
him.
Too. We got Adam Sandler. We got the insult comic, Insult Dog Triumph. We got Maya Rudolph's band, which is called Princess.
Oh, right.
And it's all Prince songs, but it's hilarious when she does them.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Garfunkel and Oates on the bill. We got
G-N-O.
Eric Idle.
Legend. Oh, fantastic.
Legend. Nice. Gonna
with
out some
with
jams.
Jeff Davis, right?
Okay, so you know what his deal is. He comes out with his friend Jeff Davis. I've never seen them before.
I saw it, like, listen, Jeff's kind of talked about it sometimes, but it just seems like something they did hanging out in England. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah, so that's exciting. And we've got Sarah Silverman, Fred Armisen. Who else we got? We got
Tig Notaro.
Nice.
Oh, and what's the Offerman's wife's band?
What? Oh, and Beth.
We got Hannibal. We got who else?
Beth and Stacy.
Reggie Watts. Reggie Watts gonna do a set.
Yes.
What's his name?
Tim Minchin. Jesus Christ.
Tim Minchin. I know.
This is a mega. How long is the show?
Patton Oswalt. What's his name? Who is now? I don't want to say his
Nancy
name
because
it'll be
Nancy
clear
Beth.
That I didn't remember his name.
So then, don't we'll skip it.
He's our favorite guy, though. He was,
whose name are you forgetting?
No, come on.
Paul F. Tompkins, Louis C.K.
Now we know that Patton's not
Tony
my favorite
Danza.
Guy.
Will Forte. Will Forte.
Thank you.
Oh, Will Forte.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Because we saw Will Forte, we didn't know he was a musical guy. Well, we did. We knew that he wrote fucking hilarious songs, but he was on. A show that we did at Largo, a little fundraiser, and he came out and he sang this song. Who was that artist that he was singing?
John, who was that?
No.
James Ingram?
Yeah, James Ingram. A super cheesy song from the 80s.
Yamo Be There.
Yamo Be There. And so he comes out and he's dressed in this really tacky red tuxedo with a bow tie, and he starts singing this James Ingram song, and it's really cheesy. It's a hot blast of cheese, but his pipes are so powerful, and he's singing with so much passion that it's funny.
And then you realize, oh, my God, he's going to sing this whole song. This is like a five-minute song. And then so it takes a turn for the, oh, no, this is turning into torture. It's not funny anymore. And then it got so funny as it went on, and you realized just the commitment level.
By the end.
And then he came, and then he went right in. After he finished that one, thunderous applause. But then he goes into his second James Ingram song, and he did three full James Ingram songs. By the end of it, it turns into performance art.
And
so we asked him after if he would please be in Festival Supreme, and he said, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got four stages. One stage is Omega. I'm not allowed to say what the stage names are. There's all this like slow rolling out of information.
Okay.
Everything.
Then just say it really slowly.
We got a stage called. I'm not going to tell you. We got four stages, but let me just say that the stages are decreasing in size. So there's a giant stage, a medium size, an intimate stage for the stand-up comedy. You don't want to put the stand-up comedy up on the gigantic stage
right. In
the open air because all the jokes kind of diffuse.
They do.
And the tent, you want to keep – the tent is like the medium-sized stage.
Yep.
And you want that one for like sketch comedy because also you want that in there too. So you got those three stages in size, the stand-up, the sketch comedy, and then the big rock, like comedy bands, will be on the big stage. But then the fourth stage is the one that I'm maybe most excited about, the one-man tent. Is it called the one-man tent? The one-man tent. And it's just Neil Hamburger by himself and only one audience member at a time. And you go in there just for 30 seconds.
Holy shit.
And I can't guarantee that there's going to be any jokes. He might just stare at you
and
really
cough.
Sweaty and cough and drink.
There might be lawsuits.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on.
One of our favorites.
But it's a he said, she said thing.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on.
You're right. Yes.
Who's going to know?
And we're going to have an art gallery. A friend of ours named Truck is kind of this genius, hilarious artist. And I've been playing Draw Something with him on the iPad, on the iPhone for a couple years now, and every drawing he sends to me is basically a gigantic cock, but in like different costumes. So every pop icon has been represented as a cock, and they're always so funny. And we asked him, dude, would you consider like making a show of these? Because it would be a funny, we're trying to find. Other besides just performance, what other kind of funny things can you do in a festival? And that seemed like a great thing. So he's like, yeah, he's going to put them on canvas, and there's going to be like a real
amazing.
Art gallery.
Is this all day and all night festival?
It's not. It does seem like a lot, but I think it goes 3 to 10.
Yep,
it's
on the pier.
On the pier.
In the parking
like
lot.
Near a Ferris.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a huge space.
They like where they usually the do, like, they do, like, yeah, they did.
We did Course of the Force.
We did Course of the Force there. But didn't they do, like, Cavalier? Or didn't they do some sort of a big circus? Like,
I think they'll
they
do that
the
down on the lower. Yeah.
So there's
going
to be the big stage that's closest to land, I guess.
Yes.
And then on the other side of that, the pier, there'll be a big tent.
Mm-hmm.
And then over where the trapeze is right now, there's a trapeze area.
School?
Where
there is.
Yeah, trapeze school. Yeah. We're taking all that trapeze stuff out and putting up the tent there. That'll be the intimate like stand-up comedy area.
It's going to be a disappointed 12-year-old somewhere.
And they were trapeze. We stole their trapeze.
Stand-up's like a trapeze act, right?
No,
guys?
It'll be back the next day. They'll have trapeze again.
Can we change that? I don't want there ever again.
Just put up a comedy tent right there the entire time. 24/7. 365.
But, there's going to be really good food and stuff, and there's roller coasters there, and it's just crazy.
What's the date of this event?
Oh, yeah, thank you. October 19th.
October 19th.
2013.
Festival Supreme.
Yeah.
Tickets are available.
Where do I go to get those? Maybe you go to,
festivalsupreme.com?
Wow. There we go. Perfect.
Wow. Who would have thought? How could you find it?
But how come Festival Supreme wasn't taken? Since I saw you last, also, I have been playing some... Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, you've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5?
I am plowing through that shit.
Are you plowing?
Now. Yeah, I'm like 48% done.
I find that I can only do it in small increments. Like, I'll go on a mission,
yeah,
and then I'll call it a night, because the missions will sometimes take a long time.
Have you?
And sometimes you'll finish a mission, and it'll like just dovetail right into another mission.
Yep.
It's like, oh, wait. I wanted to go home. I just wanted to go home and take a nap.
Yeah.
But they don't let you just go home and take a nap.
You can't.
Right as you pull up to your house, your homie comes out and is like, come on, bitches.
Michael's like, we got to go, Franklin. Come on, Frankie, we're leaving. Where are we going?
I get some fatigue. You know?
But it is tough.
Now, what's the longest in one sitting you've gone?
Probably 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. Shit. That's a lot of missions.
Yeah. That's like full on getting ready for the heist, pulling off the heist, submarine time.
Damn. I'm getting the feeling that this is like a good 50-hour game.
Oh, it seems like
There's
it.
No question. Yeah.
It seems like it.
It's I have it. But I haven't played it yet. My girlfriend's playing it. She's about 17% of the
way
through.
I cannot, like, obsessively, compulsively.
She's 17. She's 17.
My girlfriend, she's
That's
17.
Why she loves it. We like a lot of the same things. I like video games and 17-year-olds. And
you both love 17-year-olds.
I mean, but love them. Love them.
No, but, like, I find that, like, my OCD kicks in, and whenever I arrive at a place to do something, I park it in the white lines. I, like, have to park it in the white lines.
Me too.
And I always try to avoid killing people if I can. Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't want to.
I'm with you.
But I really don't want to do that. Yeah, like at the beginning when you have to kill the security guard at the bank,
yeah,
I tried to shoot the gun out of his hand, and the other guy died. I was like, I guess I got to pull a fucking trigger.
They don't give you extra points for being nice in that game.
Yeah, I know.
Do you travel a lot now? Are you traveling a lot now, or are you home for a while?
I'm home for a while. Home with the boys.
All right, good. Because I was gonna drop something on you that would change your video game playing world, which is this company gave me this thing. And it's basically a briefcase, and you open it up, and there's a LCD screen in there, and then you put your Xbox in it, and you just travel with it. So when I've been on the road doing shows, I bring this case. The company's called Games. I think it's GAEMS. And
ooh,
it,
fun.
And it,
you're bringing it to Boston?
What?
You're bringing it to Boston?
No, because I'm only there for a day. But I took it to Portland.
I was gonna play with you.
I took it to San Francisco, and you just open up the briefcase and then just start playing Xbox.
Oh, my God.
Don't
and
see
then
the
I,
city you're in. Play
and then
Xbox.
I and then I tether it to my phone so I can pull my saves off the cloud.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Pull my saves off the cloud.
That sentence meant nothing 8 months ago. Yeah. Pull my saves off the cloud. Yeah, if you went to 1995 and said that to somebody, they'd be like, "What the fuck are
you
on?"
If you went back to 2005,
good point, Jonah.
If you went back to 2009, it wouldn't have meant anything.
That's
to anyone.
True. I'm gonna up the ante. I'm gonna say 2010.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Pull my saves.
I'm gonna say 2011. 2011.
I say 2030.
Oh!
I have to circle back to Grand Theft Auto because I heard it made $800 million in one day.
Yes, it did.
And I was like, how's that physically possible?
It made a billion in 3 days.
That makes it sound like it's going to make $800,000 a day for the next, year. That's the bulk of what it's going to make. Okay, guys, don't get your panties in a bunch.
I better go.
It was a billion and change, but that's about it. Okay, guys?
It was the most expensive game ever made.
Yeah.
$250 million development and marketing.
Damn. So they're only up $600 million on the first day.
The most anticipated game in my world.
I pre-ordered it.
And the promotion.
The video game world seemed to have gotten a little boring the last 5 years. And this was one where I was like, oh, okay, wait, Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's the thing.
One.
They didn't need the advertising. They could have just saved their money by just like telling somebody. And then it just would have gone throughout the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
I think at that level, though, you're like Exxon or something. You just put out ads just to tell you you're like good people there.
Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Do we need all these bus stops ahead? Okay, I guess that's fine.
Were you playing anything before GTA 5? Were you playing...
No. I would sample. I'd dip my toe in the water once in a while, but... You know, the children. Once you get the children, it takes away, it really cuts into the video game time.
Don't
it
you try to
fucked
pretend
up my
like,
life in a way?
Don't you try? Do you try to get them to play like you're pretending that you're playing with them, but you're really doing it for yourself?
Yes.
You give them a controller not plugged into anything, and they're like,
"No." No, I mean he's legitimately into some games that I've like had to work hard to get interested in.
Yeah.
Like Minecraft.
Yes.
He loves Minecraft And it took me a long time to crack the code on why there was anything fun about that game. But now I'm into it, you know? Like, we'll go in there and we'll build a house together.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
I just like the sound effect when you're like, bip, 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 when you're digging in the mines.
Yeah.
Just that sound of breaking the blocks and rebuilding the blocks. It's fun. I really like Minecraft.
It's new Legos, kind of. It's like Legos of the future.
Yeah. But the beauty of the Grand Theft Auto games is it's a huge commitment time-wise whenever a Grand Theft Auto comes out.
But it's worth it.
But it's only every 3 years.
That's right.
And it's nice. Just that's the game that I play the most.
There were a lot more swears in this one than I remember. Like I played GTA 2 a lot when it came out.
Yeah, they've upped the ante.
And it's every other word is like the N-word
also,
or fucker.
Now
or,
they've tied the vibrate on the controller into the when you pick up a hooker and get a blowjob.
No,
it's fucking weird. And I'm like, and I put it down. I'm like,
so you press the controller against your crotch and you feel like you're receiving.
Yeah. You could, yeah.
Sexual pleasures.
Yeah, it's a little too gross.
It's finally happening.
I think they should take it a little further and they should give you like a vibrating sock to just.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a USB flashlight attachment.
GTA flashlight.
Yeah. Fucking put on there and just go to town.
We have the technology. Yeah. It's easy to do it.
And now, listen, I don't mean to. I have approached some prostitutes in the game and nothing happens.
Really?
Is that wrong?
No,
you hit the button to call them in the car.
You just ignore me. You just pushed all the buttons.
Awkwardly go. So what do you want to do?
Did you tell them who you were?
I think you hit right.
All right, you win. You got it back.
Don't fucking comment on a good job.
What are you talking
just
about?
No,
it's fun that you got it back after you lost everyone on that one.
Chris, stop being a Dragula. Stop being a Dragula, Chris.
Don't what?
Stop being a Dragula. Come on.
There must be someone's got to have that. Someone's got to have some
sort of
device.
I'm sure there's millions on sale in Japan now. Yeah.
They're in a vending machine at a train station.
Yeah. Yeah, like a pizza cock attacher for your Xbox.
Yeah. Jonah, that's a twofer, my friend.
Fuck you, Summit. I love calling him out.
I hate it so much.
Hey, remember when you said the thing about,
no,
it's really funny. Let's break it down. That's what Japan would do. That's what they would do. That's exactly what they would do.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Son of a bitch.
Do you guys play a lot during the year? Do you just hang out and jam, or do you have to play together when it's like, oh, we're getting ready for a show?
Well, when we put out an album, we usually will go around the world, you know, our version of around the world.
Again, the airways, wherever they fly.
At least one calendar year. And this year was fun because we went every season, basically. We'd have our spring tour, our winter tour, our summer tour.
They called us a band for all seasons.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. Nobody did.
Yeah, at a certain point, you got to go, okay, we've covered it all. And then some places you'll go back twice. Like, we're going to go back to England. We just played England.
Yeah.
But we've got to go back and scoop up the other
We've been doing
territories within a territory.
We've been doing gigs as a band, and then we just go out as the two-man.
Yeah, so that was the other thing. Sometimes we go the full production, and then other times we go just the two-man acoustic style, and we package it as it's it's old school. If you really want to know the D, the real D. But really, it's just a cost-saving measure.
It's a lot less stress. Your sound checks are only 10 minutes long. And you don't have to,
you don't have to wait for two guitars.
But there is a different flavor, though, right, Kate?
Yes, it is a different flavor. Well, we played festivals in Europe this last
summer. Which ones?
The hell were they? There was one in Switzerland and one in
We did the Switzerland
Austria.
Festival.
The Switzerland?
Let's just call it that.
The Austrian?
Blauplunk.
Blauplunk Festival?
We played a couple German festivals. And all the German festivals are basically rock and then some other German words. Rock'em'ring, Rock'em Park,
Rock'em Roll,
Rock'em Pot.
It is very logical to put the genre of music in the front of the title.
Yeah.
Why would you not? What is funny?
People not know what she's talking about.
What is funny?
Oh, yeah, we're particularly huge in Germany.
Do they get the D in Germany?
Which they love us more in Germany than anyone has ever loved us anywhere.
Okay,
here's how it goes. Off, huh?
They love us the least here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well,
and then
Angeles
as we get farther out, then we get more popular.
Los Angeles is really shouldn't be the benchmark for any type of live performance appreciation.
Los Angeles is where
people
are most unimpressed.
But it does a number on your head when your hometown
doesn't really give you the love.
You know what, though, but if you played Largo or if you played Meltdown, like the crowds at Meltdown and Largo are great, and UCB is great, but other places in Los Angeles, if you were to play like a real music venue, then it'd be like, why did people? There's that feeling you're like, why'd you guys leave your house?
Yeah.
Why did you think was going to happen? Why did you?
We've seen those guys.
I could do that. That's the problem, is everyone in L.A. is watching going, I could probably do that. I'm going to add that to my resume. Yeah. Fucking deal. Yeah. No problem.
I think it's like Tenacious D. I could see them getting coffee. What do I need to go see them?
It's not that special. I know where Jack lives. He lives next to my cousin. Yeah. I could just
He lives next to Van Nuys where I get my car fixed.
He comes into my GameStop. I see the fucking guy all the time. I don't have to go.
We have had some awesome shows, but we just kind of keep them intimate. We really like to rock in the intimacy tent.
We played the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, beautiful.
Which was quite, it's always like, wow, that iconic building. I wonder what it's like inside.
Just the theater.
And it's you're playing Fucker Gently inside.
It doesn't seem right. Yeah, it seems a little too classy for the D, but it was still pretty amazing. Those were probably my favorite shows, actually. But,
those were fun.
You know what? It looks exactly like the inside of the Disney Hall here in downtown L.A.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like somebody stole it from the other one. I guess the Disney Hall stole it from the Opera House because they were first, but...
Yeah, they were first by a lot, so probably the Disney one took that.
Frank Gehry always stealing a fucking.
And let's put a wait. This goes over this way, and this one shoots off this way.
He does it with paper. That's how he designs stuff, with rigid paper. He takes it and bends it, sticks it down, and then takes another sheet and bends it like this, and that's why his buildings look like that.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
You know everything.
I know a lot. Back out of glasses. Got to know it. Nothing.
Are you shooting any? Are you doing any film stuff? Or are you taking some time off?
I got a movie that I'm probably going to do next year, but it's still sort of deals still being ironed out. But as there's a kids movie
what am I supposed to do?
What?
Sorry, well, you're doing that.
I'm sorry.
Cage. What am I supposed to do?
We fade in.
Let me see if I can get you a camera.
That is actually a good segue there.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed Bernie.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know halfway through that those were actual people from that town.
Yeah.
It was like really weird thing.
A true story. Yeah.
I thought it was just really good actors.
That dude still. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was Rick Linklater once again. Bringing in the real people from the town. And, he's really into it.
Dude?
Yeah, we did. We went into the prison and met him. And Rick has been, really fascinated with that whole situation. And he's really trying to get him, I don't want to say anything because sometimes there's a backlash, but he's keeping in touch with Bernie and is definitely interested in that case.
Is he trying to West Memphis 3 it?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Oh, I remember the West Memphis 3 benefit we did at the Improv.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That was probably the best show that I ever had at the Improv.
Yeah.
Someone should make a documentary about that show. I mean,
I wish they had because it was a fucking great show.
Yeah.
Lineup was great and the crowd was... It was a perfect
That was a
show.
Special night. And I remember being on stage talking about the movie, the West Memphis 3 documentary, the first one, and how obvious it was that it was that creepy uncle who did all the killing because he threw away his teeth or something.
Oh, no, it wasn't that guy, though.
It wasn't that guy. That's what I heard.
Yeah,
it was some other guy.
It was the guy that was, everyone thought it was that guy because he pulled out his teeth when they announced there was bite marks. But it was, the other guy. It was it was the stepdad.
Right.
Yeah. It's nuts.
And that guy, did that guy ever have to do any time?
No, they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, still trying to figure it out.
But at least they let the three guys, at least they let him go.
They let him go.
But still, they stole so much.
Did you see that last one? The Peter Jackson West Memphis 3?
Yeah, that's West of Memphis.
Right.
I haven't seen that one yet. I watched the third Paradise Lost, though.
Damn, so there's been four movies on that.
Yeah.
You could send that over to Cold Case.
TV show. Ooh, I'd watch that.
Right?
Let TV handle it.
Let TV do what it's best doing, finding the truth.
Give it to D'Onofrio.
Give it to D'Onofrio.
We need another procedural.
Let Dick Wolf figure it out. He'll figure it out. He knows how that shit works.
CSI Arkansas.
Now, I really do feel like that there could be a show where it's like they could do like the meta Dick Wolf show where it's like Dick Wolf has made over 1,000 episodes of crime-solving television. He is therefore a genius at solving crimes. And then they go to Dick Wolf and he tells people isn't because the, he's done so many stories.
Is that the premise for Castle?
Is it? Well, yeah, I guess that's sort of true.
I was it sounds like Look Well, almost.
Look Well, yeah.
Murder, right. She Wrote.
The best. Mm.
Murder, She Wrote, but I contend that Jessica Fletcher is the one who committed all the murders. Because you cannot, in a small town in Maine, be privy to... How many seasons of that show? 12 seasons, time 22 episodes. It's hundreds of murders happened. like literally 30% of the population of that town died.
Well, Dexter, how many fucking serial killers can there be in one fucking place?
I would at least say in Miami that's fine, but you're talking about a small town in Maine, a small seaside town.
Small towns have big secrets.
Well, the big secret is that Jessica
another murder.
Murdered everybody. And she's remembering the series as other people, like as famous guest stars, you know, killed everyone.
Did you see that final, the Dexter finale?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
They ended it like Dr. T and the Women, if you're familiar with that movie.
Oh, really? It's the same ending?
Lost everyone again.
I missed the Richard Gere epic. What happened? Yeah.
Well, it's like the movie ends with his life kind of falling apart, and then he drives into a tornado.
Yeah.
Dr. T
That's
and the Women?
Exactly. Dr. T and the Women, yeah. But then, like, afterwards, he lands somewhere in Mexico, and then some girl finds him. He's like, we need your help. And then he goes and he delivers a baby boy, and he starts laughing.
Wait a minute. He drives into a tornado and ends up in Mexico and then delivers a baby?
Yeah, and it's like the most graphic birth.
I never
birth.
Saw that coming with that movie.
It's the most graphic birth you'll ever see in a movie. It's like you see the baby coming out of the vagina. And it's just like, you know, it's got goo everywhere. And then,
okay,
like, he's like, and he goes, it's a boy. It's a boy.
It's Mr. T doing all this?
No. Dr. T. Mr. T and the Women.
Mr. T and the Women.
I gotta see that movie. Yeah.
Wait.
What's the 5,000 keys of Dr. T?
Dr. Kilimanjaro?
No.
The 5,000 T's of Mr.
We should,
T.
We should drop foregone conclusion on him.
That was the best part of our tour. Was Kyle invented a game, and there were only four of us on the bus because it's just me and Kyle. Johnny Spike was running tech for us, and our friend Mike Bray, who plays Sasquatch, our opening act. And the four of us are on a bus, and all the buses now come equipped with a hard drive with like 4,000 shitty movies.
Okay.
And so Kyle came up with his game. Where you start at the beginning and you go through every movie until you get to one that nobody on the bus has seen. Oh, there was more than four of us.
There were six.
No, there were seven because we had
tour manager.
Who do we have, Spike? Wasn't it seven? We had to have four out of seven. Was it just a six?
There were six.
Okay, so we had six of us, and we go until we got a movie that none of us have seen. No, because we had me and Kyle.
Seven.
Yeah, seven. Boom. So
we had J-Dog.
I was wrong. We went with the whole band on this tour. So anyway.
Jack and me.
God, this story sucks now.
So you want to play the game is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So yes. So you're going through and no one can see the movie. If we get to a movie that no one's seen and then we start to watch it and then as soon as it gets four gongs... Then it's next, and so
four gong conclusion.
And dude, we never watched more than like 5 minutes of any movie.
Jesus.
And it was so funny. It was so good.
Do you have to go gong, and then it just like each person out
yeah,
loud?
And when it gets to three gongs, it gets really funny because people are looking around. It's still not shitty enough.
But then sometimes you'd ungong.
Yeah, there was
like, oh, like something would happen.
You're allowed to ungong. You're like, wait a second, ungong. Yeah. You see something.
Did you get through any one movie?
Well, the funny thing was, we finally came to a movie, and it was called.
Oh, that was a bad movie. That I don't want to admit that that's the one that didn't get a
no,
call.
I know, but
we didn't
for
make
some
it through
reason.
That one either. We got to our
only
destination.
Only because we got to our destination.
Okay, furthest
also,
you got through a movie was?
It was a movie that had The Rock in it, and he was like...
Race to Witch Mountain?
He was driving around really
faster.
Angry. Faster.
Was it faster? And for some reason, we all got hooked into this piece of shit.
Well, it's
he
The Rock.
He was going to get the
he's
four
so
gongs.
He was going to get
we
eventually.
Didn't have that time.
He's too charismatic. You can't gong
yeah,
The Rock.
Yeah, you can't keep your head.
Zero gongs. Yeah. But sometimes a movie would get a gong during the credits, the title sequence at the beginning. The shittiness of the titles. And it was like,
it'd always be, you know, some unknown production company. A name you can trust.
Yeah. Any Orion picture comes up.
Gong. But it's amazing how much pleasure you can get from a shitty movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the
best.
Some of the
best. What was the one where Busta Rhymes, like, threw the child out the window?
Yeah. That was an amazing gong.
And then it was, because once the child went out the window, everyone gonged. This is too horrible. We can't watch any more of this.
That's the sound of a child.
What is it?
Being thrown out the window. I don't know what it is, but I need to see it.
Being thrown into a gong.
I got to run. I got to go do Star Trek at Meltdown.
Are you going to go do Star Trek?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a good place to wrap this up so that we can send you guys over to the musical portion of the podcast.
I do a live show with Kumail at Meltdown where we watch shitty episodes of Star Trek and talk over it.
Oh, my God.
It.
Which one? Which
tonight we're watching Spock's Brain.
Is it a podcast?
Oh, my God.
No.
I love Spock's
Brain. It's just
Brain.
A live.
It's just a live.
Because you have to be watching the show. You have to be watching
this. No, sometimes we do Next Gen.
Dude, the best part is Spock's Brain.
Yeah.
This is like child's play. A child could do it.
I love it so much. Yes, that is what we were making fun of tonight.
Oh, my God.
If you guys ever want to do the show, let me know.
It's fun.
A lot of fun.
I'd love
to do it.
If you're doing an OG, that's where,
this is the one that I would want to do. Yeah. Spock's Brain.
We can redo it, don't worry.
Have fun at Spock's Brain, Myra.
I will have fun.
See you, man.
Take care.
There goes Matt Myra.
I'm going to miss him.
You guys want to do a couple songs?
I think that we should.
Because
you're going to do a ballad, right?
Ballad. I think we should.
I think you should too.
Okay.
Song still gives me goosebumps every time.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's
we'll fix that.
Yeah. Take it away.
You don't have a lot of confidence in our.
No, I do.
I heard you practicing that flute.
Self-effacing way.
That's not a flute. That's more of a recorder.
And then we're going to launch straight into Keep on Loving You with you, Chris Hardwick, because we know
of a live
you bust out an 80s jam now and again.
I'm not good.
Well, then let's preface it by saying no rehearsal.
Okay.
No blame.
The best kind.
You can just let Kyle do it. Kyle will do the harmonies, and who cares? Here we go.
I don't.
Okay, wait, maybe I will do it. Where are you guys going?
I don't think
this is the ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage. Nothing could stop him when Jables and Rage hit the stage. Then Hollywood Jack hit the big time and went to make movies. Rage Cage was left far behind in the dust of his dreams. And he grumbled and growled and watched Hollywood Jack on Jay Leno. He bellowed and said he'd be nothing without help from Cage. He burnt up the photos of Jables and Cage from the old days. Fuck 'em, I don't need no Hollywood Jack anyway. So Hollywood Jack lived up high on a hill in a bubble. Rage Cage lived deep in the broiling valley below. Yes, the Rage Cage bubbled with rage. He looked at the ground and he looked on the stage. The lava was bubbling and broiling inside the old cage. And Hollywood Jack climbed the ladder of stardom before him. He watched as his indie credentials flew right out the door. He'd make millions and then he'd go out and he'd make even more millions. He'd screen Cage's calls and he'd party with Zsa Zsa Gabor. No one respected him, they just rejected him. No one would represent Cage. Lost on the streets of his dreams, he would cry and he'd rage for the stage. Thank you. Hollywood Jack got a message that Cage was in trouble. They took Cage away cause he had gone completely insane. Then Hollywood Jack jumped upon a jet plane and flew all that night through the rain to be with his friends and see what remained of his brain. Yeah, Hollywood Jack told the doctors, you've got to retrieve him. You've got the technology, use the techniques of your trade. He grabbed their lapels and he screamed, by God, you must save him. Because of rage, Cage and I, can't you see that we're one and the same? Rage Cage, oh, the rage cage, all the magic inside that old name. And you know what you know when you're going completely insane. The rage cage, oh, the rage cage, all the lion will roar once again. And you know, yes, you know, when you're going completely insane. Nothing and no one could harm the old rage cage again. Nothing and no one could harm the old rage cage again. Nothing and no one could harm the old rage cage again. Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage would ride once again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There was a minute in the middle there where there was no guitar at all, and that's because I forgot to push my button to make my button my guitar
I
make
think it
noise.
Made it even more haunting.
No, it made it very kajunky. Kajunky. And for our second song, we'd like to ask up to the stage our good friend Chris Hardwick. This is the jam that Chris earlier today said was his favorite song ever written.
I don't know if I said that.
And so we're going to sing this. No, you actually
I'm
said...
I'm not a good harmony person,
you, but
though.
Someone from your team said, hey, do you think you'd like to play an old 80s jam with Chris?
I did say that, yeah.
And we were like, yeah, this is the one. So just jump in if you feel it. If you don't feel it, just stand there
if
and
I don't
look
know
awkward.
The, if I don't know the harmony, can I just double sing the melody with
yes,
you?
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
Okay.
It's done often.
We'll do a Bananarama style.
Yeah, exactly. You should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby, there was something missing. You should have heard from the tone of my voice, baby.
What?
But you didn't listen.
Shh.
Yeah, I meant every word I said. When I said that I loved you, I meant that I loved you forever. And I'm gonna keep on loving you, cause it's the only thing I wanna do. I don't wanna sleep, I just wanna keep on loving you. Guitar solo. Fucking real. Tuck a fuck a fuck a real. Fucking
every word I said, when I said that I loved you, I meant that I love you forever. Hey, I'm gonna keep on loving you, cause it's the only thing I wanna do now. I don't wanna sleep, I just wanna keep on loving you. Sorry,
right, baby, I gotta go to sleep. But I still love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the PGA Invitational.
Oh, shit.
Oh, are you doing it?
A third and unforeseen jam? Oh, my God. Straight from the old days, you used to do this in Rock of Ages.
Whoa.
I'm going to come in with some harmonies.
Okay. Should I do it right now?
Yeah. It's all the same. Only the names will change. Every day it seems we're wasting away. Another place where the faces are so cold. I drive all night just I get back home. I'm a cowboy on a steel horse. I'm a warrior. Dead or alive, I'm a wanted.
Wanted.
Dead or alive.
Woo! He's still got it.
We only had we didn't really rehearse that one. You know the second verse?
Sometimes I sleep. Sometimes it's not for days. The people I meet,
what?
They only go their separate ways. Sometimes you lay out,
yeah,
from the bottle that you drink. Sometimes I don't know the words, so I gotta stop and think.
Nice.
That I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, he is.
On the steel horse I ride, and I'm a wanted. Dead or alive, I'm either wanted.
Wanted.
Could be dead or alive, I'm very wanted.
Wanted.
Dead or alive, dead or alive.
Dead.
Woo! Best of show. Best of show. High five on that one. Very nice, Chris.
An honor.
Chris on lead vocals on that one.
An honor. Is there anything you guys want to do? One more D song? Is there anything? What did you?
No,
what did you,
that was it. Now we got to go.
We got to get the wrap up.
We've got to go to do a Star Trek photo shoot.
We got a convention. What? That's amazing.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Carbonite is online backup made easy. Plans start at just $59.99 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist to get 2 bonus months with purchase.